Spirit Guide Underground, September 26, 2008.
Warning, access restricted. Enter password. Begin DNA verification. Processing. Verification complete. Access granted. Welcome. Spirit.
Hello and welcome to the Monitor Room at the Spirit Blade Underground Podcast. I'm Peter France and the creator of Spirit Blade Productions. We're bringing you Christian sci-fi and fantasy that's unsterilized, unsafe, and unleashed on your ears and imagination. You can check out what we're doing and grab lots of cool downloads at www.spiritblade.net. The newest download that you can check out is the first part of a two-part interview with Michael Tully, who does the voice of Ran for Spirit Blade and now for Dark Ritual. That is up there on the media page over at www.spiritblade.net, along with the interview that you heard, it wasn't last week because I was gone last week, but 2 weeks ago on the podcast, the interview with Melissa Van Slyke. Both of those have scene clips before and after the interview, so in addition to getting a behind-the-scenes interview with one of the cast members, you also get some audio preview clips of Dark Ritual. Now, these you'll notice on the media page under the Dark, I've separated the cast interviews into Spirit Blade and Dark Ritual sections. And you'll notice in the Dark Ritual section that the cast members, all of their names have Part 1 written next to their interview. That's because all of these interviews I did in two parts with all these actors. And the second part, we'll start releasing the second parts of those interviews after Dark Ritual has been released, because the second parts of each of those interviews all contain major plot spoilers that I wouldn't want anyone to have even a chance of hearing before Dark Ritual is released. And there's also warnings in each of those interviews that I say before the interview gets started, and I'll put it in the text too, so that people will have every chance to avoid getting their Dark Ritual experience spoiled by listening to an interview that's full of spoilers. Let's see, what else? I didn't do the updates thing. I just kind of went right in. Okay, we better hear the updates little sound effect.
Update information.
Okay, that was great. The updates this week include... let's see, I gotta pull it up here. Normally I just kind of read off of the Friday post of the Spirit Blade Underground weblog, but I can basically just kind of tell you what's going on. Today, I got the final quote from our CD manufacturers, and I've gotten that to my graphic designer. He's going to be working on the last bits of the back label for the CD case over the weekend, and we're hoping that early next week, that'll basically all be done, and we'll be able to start moving forward with the CD duplication company. Although we're not going to send stuff out to them for the final print until possibly like a week from this coming Monday or Tuesday. I'm still waiting for one or two people to get their test listener notes back to me. The deadline for my last group of test listeners is next Wednesday, October 1st. So I will have all the testing notes back by then, and then Thursday, the 2nd, I will be making the final corrections and adjustments to the mix, which, based on the notes that I've gotten back so far, is going to be pretty small in number, which is cool. I trust the ears that I've been giving Dark Ritual to. Lots of good discerning musical ears, as well as just good ears in general for audio and stuff like that. So I'm I'm confident that with their help, we're going to be able to release the best possible product for you guys to enjoy in Spirit Blade Dark Ritual. So then next weekend, I'm going to be out of town visiting a friend, my buddy Mark. We're going to have making my annual trip out to California to have a board game weekend. We do more than one of those a year, but only once a year now do I go out and visit him. And then when I get back, that Monday and Tuesday is when I'm hoping on one of those 2 days to kind of cross the T's and dot the I's and send everything off to print. Turnaround time is pretty quick with the method that we're using, and it's going to be, I think, around 10 days maybe they said. I'll have to double check that, but it could be as quick as a 10-day turnaround time. I'm not sure if that includes the time it takes for it to get out there and the time to get back. I think it might, but I'm not sure. Anyway, so the likelihood of Dark Ritual being available for purchase before Halloween is pretty strong at this point. So hopefully that's for a long time I've avoided any kind of release dates, and that's about as specific as I've gotten for a while in terms of when Dark Ritual is going to be released. So I'll just say it's a very strong likelihood that Dark Ritual will be able to be purchased before Halloween. In the meantime, as I said, you can check out some cool interviews of the two that I've already posted. And my plan is, and please hold me accountable to this, my plan is every week to release another special feature that you can download on the website leading up to Spirit Blade Dark Ritual. And that will do two things. One, if you keep me accountable, it will keep me putting together the interviews and content and stuff like that. I've got ideas for basically all of it. And two, it will really motivate me to make sure that we are hastening in every way possible the release of Dark Ritual, because if I run out of ideas for behind-the-scenes goodies before Dark Ritual's released, and, you know, I don't want to release, like I said, those part two of those interviews before it's released, well, I'm going to be in trouble. So, if you guys hold me accountable to release one special feature a week for Dark Ritual, my world will be a better place. I don't really know what I was going to say there. Nothing really fantastic. All right, some minor stuff that's just kind of cool and fun, but not really relevant to Dark Ritual. I mentioned, I think, on the podcast a couple weeks ago that I was going to have to be getting rid of the ability on our web logs to leave a recorded message for me to play on the podcast. Because Evoca is now charging for that service, which had been free for the last year or two, or however long I've had it. So it just wasn't in the budget for me to keep it and be paying for it. It had to be something free, so I had to get rid of it. But I did some searching around, and I found this really cool thing called RockYou that allows me to embed a player and recorder on a web page. And it's different from the one before, because the one that Evoca had, you had to have a microphone on your computer in order to leave me a message. Now all you got to do is have a phone. I'm sure that some basic long distance charges apply, but there's so many great cell phone plans that's usually a non-issue. But if you go to spiritblade.typepad.com, I think I've got it on all three. Do I have it on? Yeah, I've got it on the Spirit Blade weblog, I've got it on Pater's Brain, and I've got it on the podcast site. So all three of those blog/podcast sites have this recorder on them. So you go over there, and if you click on the record button, you're not going to use your mic to record. That's just kind of a little novelty. It actually brings up a tiny little window with a phone number to call and a code to enter in to leave your message. But to fit it on the page, I had to make it really small, so that little window that pops up is really teeny tiny. So on all three of those pages, I've reproduced the number and the code that you need to enter to leave a message for me right near the embedded player itself in larger text, so it'll be easier to do. But anyway, I've got a greeting on there. You can hit the little, what does it say? Greeting something. But you can, check out my greeting and then leave me a message, and that will be playable from the from all three websites. If no matter where you leave the no matter which place you get the number to call, I mean it's all the same number in all three of them, so the messages left there will be playable and synced up on all three of those blog sites. And you, there is also the option of leaving me a private message, but the public message will be, it'll stay basically on that player on the website, and so it's kind of like a guest book in a sense. You know, if you feel like leaving me a message and saying something or whatever's on your mind, do that. Leave me a message, and other people will be able to come and kind of check out all the various messages that have been left by fans of Spirit Blade or just fans of this podcast or whatever the case may be. So I would love to hear from you. If you feel like writing down that number now, I'm going to go ahead and put it in the show notes too, but the phone number is 1-712-432-8829. Okay, I just had to stop and restart there for a second because I wanted to look up and see if there's anything I could spell with that phone number, 1-712-432-8829. Turns out I can spell 171-CHEAT-TAX. 171-CHEAT-TAX. That's the only thing I could spell that made any sense. That is not in any way a recommendation on how to handle your finances, but there you have it. If that helps you remember, 171-CHEAT-TAX. And then the code you have to enter in after that is 861-3216. I would have loved to have come up with something, but the number one on like a phone doesn't have any letters associated with it, so it was just going to be too awkward to... Let's see, VO1-DA-DA... Yeah, I got nothing. If you can come up with something creative, I'd love to hear it. Anyone, 1-712-432-8829, and then enter 861-3216, and I'll put that in the show notes. So anyway, that's a lot of fun. Secondly, or lastly, I should say, I found this thing called Audiogo, or Audiogo, or I'm not sure exactly how you pronounce it, but it's this cool widget that I can put on my blog, and so I put it on the Spirit Blade Underground weblog that converts all of your posts into an audio file that lists that readers can optionally hit play for. And the, you know, Speak and Spell has really advanced quite a bit since the 1980s Speak and Spell toy. They've got a much more belief. It's almost like going to the airport now. If you've ever been to the airport and they've got those automated, you know, electronic voices that, you know, they sound, the inflection's a little bit off, although it still has its, definitely its good points. Anyway, go over to spiritblade.typepad.com and you can click on any one of my posts, and unless it's still loading and preparing to make it happen, all the most recent posts should be prepared to just hit play, to hit the listen now button, and a little mini podcast of the Audiogo Man kind of plays for you. So, you know, you can, I thought that was kind of cool. If you want, you can keep up to date with what's going on with my three posts per week and surf the web and check out other things while you're listening to that post. You can also download the MP3 and, you know, take it with you on the go for whatever reason.
Primary feature.
Inside Blader. Activated.
Before we get into In Search of Truth this week, I wanted to make sure and touch base on some big TV kind of stuff going on this week. We had Heroes, Terminator, and Fringe going on. Now, I know those shows have been on for the last 2 weeks, but I've been off the podcast for last weekend, so I didn't have a chance to talk about them. I'll give you the rundown. J.J. Abrams, my opinion anyway, J.J. Abrams, who was associated with Fringe, this new show on Fox, it looks like it's kind of like an X-Files type show where people are investigating weird phenomena, and the title Fringe comes from the idea of science that's kind of on the fringe, this kind of pseudoscience. It had the dude from, it was Dawson's Creek, the boyfriend of, you know, I didn't watch Dawson's Creek, so I don't remember, but he was one of the, it's the guy that wasn't Dawson with brown hair that hung out with the gal that I can't stand who's married to Tom Cruise. Can't remember her name either because I'm trying to blot it out of my head because she drives me nuts every time I see or think about her, because I think she's a terrible actress. I'll just put it out there. Anyway. So he's this guy from Dawson's Creek is kind of featured on this show, and it just seemed, I don't know, I was afraid that the weak point was going to be that it was a J.J. Abrams thing, which, you know, a while back I would have said, wow, J.J. Abrams is going to be awesome. He did Alias, he did Lost. But you know what I've noticed with those two shows is they go downhill after two seasons, sometimes less. In the case of Alias, it was because he left the show and kind of moved on to something else and left the show in the hands of other people. So that could have been a factor there, I don't know. And then Lost, I don't know how involved he's been with Lost since getting it started, but I haven't gotten the sense that he's terribly involved. In either case, for whatever reason, I thought that show really started to go downhill after two seasons, and we stopped watching it. I think after the second season, maybe after the beginning of the third or partway into the third, we stopped watching it. I can't remember. But anyway, Fringe wasn't, you know, it didn't have any of the kind of mysterious elements to the level that Lost has them. It felt a little bit like X-Files rehashed. It didn't really hold my interest. The characters didn't seem very interesting. There was just nothing that grabbed me that said, this show is unique, this show is worth checking out, this show is different from anything you've ever seen. And for all the complaints I have about where Alias and Lost have ended up, I thought that both shows were new. They were something that had never been done before. They were concepts that had never been done before. Fringe just kind of seems like X-Files for a new generation. So I stopped watching it probably after the first 25 minutes and moved on to things that were more entertaining. Actually, I was playing Neverwinter Nights, so I moved on to playing Neverwinter Nights. Terminator's The Sarah Connor Chronicles has been pretty enjoyable. It's not like this big earth-shattering type show. It's, you know, if you like the Terminator mythos, you'll probably enjoy the show. But it's not, you know, aside, if you're not a Terminator fan, this show isn't going to offer anything that's all that brilliant and fantastic either. However, with the addition of a T-1000 now into the cast as a villain, it's looking like it's going to be a pretty interesting ride. They're kind of playing around, it seems like, with some strange biblical elements. I'm not sure exactly what they're going to do with that. A former love interest of Sarah Connor was given... Well, the detective that's pursuing Sarah Connor has kind of got some kind of a religious, you know, traditional... I don't know if it's Baptist or whatever background, but... anyway, he seems to have, you know, some form of Christianity in his background and was kind of giving a Bible to a former love interest of Sarah Connor's as kind of consolation and kind of telling him, hey, you should start taking this seriously because we might be looking at the end of the world, that kind of thing. So I'm not really sure where they're going to go with that, if they're going to just totally mess up the interpretation of the Bible like, you know, usually happens when the mainstream media, arts and entertainment use the Book of Revelation. I guess it'll all be, you know, it'll say something if they say Revelations, because the book has no S at the end of it. It's just Revelation. And anytime I hear somebody quote the Book of Revelations, I kind of lose respect for however they're going to use it. But anyway, that's a little pet peeve of mine, okay? I've heard pastors do the same thing, and it bothers me, but they, you know, still use it to pretty decent effect. Still, just a pet peeve of mine. Let's not get uptight about it. Too late. I'm uptight, obviously. What's left? Heroes. Okay, I finally caught up on the two-hour Heroes premiere. Pretty good stuff, although I'm concerned the show has veered from one of its strengths, and that is character. In true 90s comic book fashion, this season has seen some major changes in the status quo. Rather than take us deeper into the personalities of these characters, the writers have decided to change their personalities, like giving Superman a mullet after killing him and bringing him back again. You know, it just seems like they're changing the status quo instead of taking us deeper into the character. I'd be interested in a more Watchmen-type approach where the superhero stuff is kind of like the dressing, the packaging, and what they're really interested in doing is psychologically picking these people apart and asking the question, what would really happen? What would really happen if people suddenly discovered that they could travel through time, or that their wounds would heal, or whatever the case may be? There are so many crazy psychological implications of something like that really happening in the real world to a real person. And it looked like in the beginning of the show they were going to be dealing with that, but it seems like the world and people are adjusting to powers and people having powers and themselves having powers a little bit too easily for my tastes. I'd love to see a much more psychologically rooted show in Heroes, but... you know, it still looks pretty good, but like I said, they're changing up the status quo. Looks like we'll mostly be seeing Evil Peter this season, and Claire may not be far behind in a evil iteration of herself. Jessica has found yet another personality, this time with new powers. Nathan, this is weird. Nathan's gone kind of kooky on us, okay? He's borrowing from traditional Christian motifs, yet he's spouting pop spirituality ideas that sound like they come from Oprah. about humanity all being connected and needing to, quote, save ourselves. Now, I do want to say, although the Bible promotes unity and connection to each other, biblical Christianity, which Peter seems to be connected to, because he's, or maybe it's Catholicism, because of the way he kind of kissed his, there's probably a technical term for that. I'm not a Catholic. I don't have that in my background. But when you make a cross with your thumb and index finger and you kiss it, I don't know if there's a name for what that is. But he kind of did that, and he prayed in a what looked like a Catholic church, since the cross they had up there still had Jesus on it, which is usually just with Catholics that do that. But so it seemed like they were pulling from some kind of Christian or Catholic motifs, but the philosophy of, you know, we need to save ourselves, that's not a biblical Christian philosophy. That's all Oprah Winfrey. So, and you know, I thought it was really interesting that him spouting this philosophy now, Jessica's new character, I can't remember her character's new name, but she was telling a governor that, like, the religious right is totally eating up Nathan Petrelli's deal, which says to me that the writers, I don't think, understand the extreme religious right. Now, I certainly don't consider myself in that category. I'm probably, you know, not straight in the middle. I probably veer some to the right side. But as far as the extreme religious right, they would not buy into the kind of stuff that Nathan Petrelli is spouting about all being connected. And I think a lot of the religious right, they unfortunately ignore the fact that the Bible does call us to unity and stuff like that. But I think they would react negatively to that idea of we're all connected, because to them it would sound like it's only something that can be found in Hinduism or you know, some other Eastern religion. And then, of course, the self-saving philosophy they would run far away from. So I thought that was interesting that the writers assumed that this kind of language coming from Nathan Petrelli is the kind of thing that the extreme religious right would be interested in, because I don't think it is. So it, you know, says, okay, the writers, once again, you know, writers really don't know how to handle biblical Christianity. But in any case, I'm kind of getting off on a rabbit trail there, but this show is you know, focused on Christian sci-fi and fantasy, so I guess it doesn't hurt to throw that perspective in there. Dr. Suresh, he's gone kind of pseudo-evil, and he's been given powers too. Thankfully, though, Parkman still seems to be the lovable everyman that I watch this show for. He's not the only reason I watch the show, but he's a big reason I watch the show. So please, writers, do not screw that up. Excuse me, I was fighting a burp there, but I fought it off. It's gone now. Please, writers, do not screw up Matt Parkman. I just think he's great. I loved the actor on Alias, and we were excited to see him coming on Heroes because he plays the everyman so well. So I hope they don't mess him up. Now, for a time, I think this shaking things up philosophy, you know, it worked in comics, too. The death of Superman breaking Batman's back, Green Lantern goes nuts. But in the long run, we've discovered that respect for the characters and exploring who they are, not one crazy thing that happens to them and just changes the status quo for random reasons and makes them into a new person. You know, exploring who they originally are and going deeper into who they are instead of changing who they are, that is what keeps readers coming back to the comics. So I hope that they will realize that for the show, and after they've had fun shaking things up, they'll take us back to the core of who these characters are and go a little bit deeper. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't mind a shake-up, but so much changed all at once. I mean, in the space of these two back-to-back episodes, so much changed that the show feels disconnected from the previous two seasons, I think. While it may help to bring on new viewers, I'm sure that's part of what this is all about. I'll stick around for the ride, too, but it felt like a slight betrayal of these characters. All right, lastly, it was great to see William Catt, who, if you saw a familiar face, the reporter that was hounding down Jessica to, you know, get answers about, hey, you were sleeping with this senator, and now you're working for this governor, or whatever. William Catt, that reporter, was in Greatest American Hero in the 80s, the guy with the orange, weird-looking superhero suit and the big, froey, blonde hair who couldn't control his powers. It was kind of a weird, you know, comedy type thing. It was great to see William Catt on the show, but I hope we find out that he actually has superpowers and that we will be seeing him again, because it was a real shame to see him leave the episode the way that he did. And I won't spoil that detail if you haven't seen it. I figure I've spoiled enough for you already. So anyway, that's my thoughts on Heroes. Let's keep the show going.
Every word of God proves true.
Will set you free.
The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever.
Doctrine will set you free.
What is the day of the Lord? We're searching for truth in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, just verses 1 through 15 this week. In this chapter, Paul gives a few details to us about a future event that goes by this title, the Day of the Lord. The topic of future events always comes with a level of disagreement on details between various students and scholars of the Bible. While we should continue to study and understand Scripture more deeply, and you see that in Proverbs 25:2, I want to make the point that some things are meant to remain a mystery to us. Some things will, you know, we may disagree about and wonder about, and that's okay. Matthew 24:36 is an example of just stuff being a mystery sometimes. Regarding the Day of the Lord, we need to pull some details from other parts of the Bible to get a basic sense of this term, but we're still going to focus mostly on what we learn from the text in this chapter. Now, in Amos chapter 15, this day seems to be about God bringing justice to humanity. For those who trust in Christ, it will be a time of rescue. For those who reject Christ and ultimately choose to worship themselves and their own way of life, it will be a time of severe yet just punishment. And I put worship in quotes because anything that you worship is something that you prioritize above all else. That's the biblical definition of worship in the Old Testament, is this idea of bowing before, face flat on the ground, making yourself low compared to the thing that you worship. So it is this ultimate prioritization of the object of your worship. So if people reject Christ and worship something else, they prioritize ultimately something else, whether that's wealth or pleasure or whatever the case may be, then for them, the Day of the Lord will be a time of severe yet just punishment. First, we can tell that it's going to come suddenly and catch people by surprise. We see that in verses 2 and 3. It's going to bring inescapable pain. We see that specifically in verse 3. It will not surprise those who follow Christ. At least, I should say, not in the same way that it will surprise those who reject Christ. So look at verses 4 through 5 to see where I got that. We can probably assume from verses 8 and 9 that believers in Christ will not suffer, or at least will not suffer as much when the Day of the Lord takes place. While the word used for salvation in the Greek here can mean either material or eternal deliverance, the context, I think, suggests a deliverance from the wrath of the Day of the Lord, at the very least. It can also refer to the broader sense of eternal salvation, but I think given the context, I gravitate toward the idea of it referring, at the very least, to deliverance from the wrath of the Day of the Lord. Paul urges the Thessalonians, and by extension us, to be alert and self-controlled. Look at verse 6. God wants us to be protected on a daily basis by our trust in Him and our love for God and others. Isn't that interesting? That there can be protection found in trusting Him and in loving God and loving others. It's also interesting that trust in God and love for Him and others is mentioned after being urged to have self-control. Love for others and a mind fixed on God doesn't leave us as much room for a love of self and a focus on our own gratification. An outward focus is one great way to gain protection against self-serving sin. Paul uses the metaphor of sleep in two different ways in this chapter. First, in verse 7, the context indicates that this kind of being asleep refers to a lack of alertness and self-control. So we might compare this to the expression, don't fall asleep at the wheel, right? In verse 10, Paul is probably using the common metaphor for sleeping that he also used back in chapter 4, verse 13. Check that out for a second, see what I'm talking about. This kind of sleeping refers to physical death. Now, it's possible that Paul meant this in the sense of being lazy and uncaring, as he used it in verse 7. If this is the case, it would indicate that a person who is a genuine believer in Christ can live a life that is not very different outwardly from someone who does not believe in Christ. I won't go into it, but I mean, other scripture does indicate that there should be some difference. Otherwise, you know, it kind of brings into question whether or not we truly believe and follow Christ. I'm sure you can think of examples of Christians who may believe, well, you know, ultimately we can't know objectively anyone's heart. So, I mean, that's kind of where this gets a little bit tricky. But But what we see here is if this term sleep can refer to being lazy and uncaring, then it could indicate, like I said, that a person who is a genuine believer in Christ can live a life that is not very different outwardly from someone who does not believe in Christ. Should point out here, Christians are not saved eternally because of how well they obey God. On the other hand, this verse can't be used to imply that everyone would be saved by Christ, whether they follow Christ or not. I think that's a popular idea in some circles. But if we think about that logically, if that were the case, we wouldn't see the importance of believing in Jesus emphasized so much in the Bible, or the judgment of those who reject him. So in order for that philosophy of everyone being eternally saved and no one going to hell, in order to embrace that, you've really got to kind of pick and choose what you want to believe from the Bible, and that's just a whole messy scenario in and of itself. Regardless of which way we look at this verse, we can see in it a reminder of both God's mercy and his justice. Living the Christian life is not an isolated journey. I think I've kind of said or implied that a few times in this podcast. We're told to appreciate and love those that are responsible for leading us spiritually, implying involvement with a Christian community that includes some form of leadership. Look at verses 12 through 13. And take a look at verses 14 and 15. Paul is describing activities that clearly involve relationships. Now, this is what I thought of when I read this. I thought, you know, in the age of electronic media and communication, it's really easy to exchange some emails and be active on some message boards and then think that we're really investing in people or really relating with people. You know, and to a degree, we are. I don't want to discount that. We definitely shouldn't overlook the ability of the internet to open doors of communication and make relationships possible that were previously unheard of. But we should also recognize that the internet allows us a safety barrier, and it cancels much of the intimacy and vulnerability of live one-on-one conversation. In order to really invest in each other, we have to be vulnerable to each other. Online, well, we can check emails and respond whenever we want. There's no immediate obligation. The entire relationship is on our schedule, at our pace, and on our terms. Likewise, we can share our views on a message board and then vanish without remaining invested in the continuing conversation. That's one of my frustrations about people getting into debates, whether no matter what the topic is, on message boards, that people can kind of just say their piece and, you know, they don't stick around, or if, you know, if someone else comes and counters their idea, you never hear from that person again, and so there's not this real exchange of ideas, just a bunch of people, blah, just shouting, you know? Where was I? I just totally lost my place here. Internet community. This is what I'll close with saying. Internet community is an incredible way to expand our relationships, but it is no substitute, I don't think, for being involved in person with other Christians. It's a great way to find more community online, but I want to encourage you to not let your friends and acquaintances and whoever on the internet, or maybe that you're also in touch with on the phone. I think that's a fantastic next step, but there is nothing like being involved in person with other Christians on a regular basis. The Coffeehouse question this week, nothing really philosophical or probing. I'm just curious, what message boards or online communities are you a part of? I'm a part of several of them through audio drama boards, darkerprojects.com, Broken Sea Audio, Fans for Christ, a few others I'm pretty sure that are related to voice acting and whatnot, but that I've not been very active on because I've been so busy with Dark Ritual. But I'm hoping after Dark Ritual's release to really get engaged more with those communities, because I really like interacting with the folks on those message boards. So I would love to hear what message boards or online communities you are a part of. You can send me an email at paeter@spiritblade.net, or you can record me a message, as I mentioned, I think, earlier. No, maybe I didn't. Did I? Yes, I did. Anyway, go to spiritblade.typepad.com or to Pater's Brain or to the podcast page and record an audio message for me. Not only will it be kind of imprinted onto that player for people who visit the weblog to enjoy, but I can lift it off of there and play it on the podcast so you can hear yourself featured on this very podcast. Dial 1-712-432-8829, or as I said earlier, 171-CHEAT-TAX, and enter the code 861-3216. It's a really easy process, I promise. Just dial up and leave me a message. They can be as long as 5 minutes in length. So, you know, if you ever want to leave me a full-length review on something, I'd love to get that from you, too. So I'd love somebody test that out for me. I don't have any messages left for me yet on the player. So I would love for somebody to kind of just check that out for me. And if nothing else, make sure it works. Next week, we're going to pick apart some churchy phrases as we close up our look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And then we'll move on after that.
This is Dave, the Jaded Visalian, and you may be sitting there next to your iPod wondering, why should I listen to the Jaded Visalian podcast? Well, it's because of my wife. She is the most awesomest person you will ever hear, and you will hear things just like this. Sing it!
J is for the Jesus in our hearts. E is for the Elvis that Dave loves. N's for never ever talking about zombies. And it's...
You can hear me, you can hear Jen, you can hear dogs in the background. That pretty much sums up the Jaded Visalian podcast. And you can find us at www.thejadedvisalian.com.
You just heard a promo for the Jaded Visalian podcast. It's one of the podcasts in a small group that I have connected with recently, a small group of Christian podcasters, and we're all just trying to help each other out by promoting each other's shows when we can. So Dave's podcast is kind of unusual. It's hard to even describe. But I'll tell you this, if you ever occasionally find weird, random humor or just kind of quirky stuff to be an enjoyable part of your listening diet, then go over and check out the Jaded Visalian podcast. It might be worth your time. All right, that's it for this week. Next week, I have no idea, as usual, what's coming. I know we're going to finish up the book of 1 Thessalonians, do the rest of chapter 5 next week, but other than that, I have no idea. Oh, gosh, you know what? Now that I think about it, I can't even guarantee that there will be a podcast next week. I'm going to try really hard to get the podcast out early, but I'm leaving next Friday morning, as I mentioned earlier, to go have my big board game weekend with my buddy out in California. So, gosh, yeah. I guess it'll just be a surprise to both of us whether or not there's a podcast next week. I will really try to get something out. Let's just say right now, the plan is for me to post the podcast next week, Thursday night. But please, please forgive me if that doesn't happen. I'm really going to try and make it happen. It all just kind of depends on what happens this week with the CD and the stuff, you know, how fast the CD production, the manufacturers kind of move, and just a lot of different factors. If I get bogged down with Dark Ritual stuff, it may not happen. But rest assured, if there is no podcast, that's a good sign that things are really moving forward with Dark Ritual. So it's kind of a little bit of give and take. Anyway, that's all I've got for this week. I hope you guys have a great week, and no matter whether you're here or not next time, I hope you are always seeking the truth.
Visit www.spiritguide.net. Banter is awesome. Peter is a crazy freak.